Hot Business on Hot 102.7 is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, your partner with sector expertise and tailored solutions to help you grow with purpose and ambition. Standard Bank is an authorized FSP and registered credit provider. Now, illicit trade is costing South Africa billions in lost revenue, jobs and investment, and yet the problem persists, even as enforcement agencies try to fight back. Now, there's a new report out from the Transnational Alliance to Combat Illicit Trade, and it suggests that it's time for a national reset. It's proposing a bold public-private partnership to get there. But my question is this possibly the breakthrough that we need as far as the problem is concerned, or maybe just another well-meaning report and suggestion? I'm going to talk to the director of the alliance now, Esteban Giudici. Esteban, a very warm welcome. And let me start with this very bluntly. Why, after years of reports and pledges, do you think, is this country still failing to dent the scale of illicit trade?
It's true. It has been years of reports, but this is not a problem only for South Africa. We believe that many countries are grappling with this situation. Of course, there are many factors that bring countries to have these kind of problems, in the sense that there is a kind, if you want, the gridlock. It's difficult to move forward. And something that we need to realize is that criminals have leverage on technology and in many different ways of using advanced techniques to commit their crimes. And the authorities and the private sector too, we haven't caught up yet, in the sense that there are many things that we can do that we are not yet doing. Yes, we have the reports that showcase what's the situation. We have the second iteration of our report in South Africa that was released yesterday at the Business Unity of South Africa. It demonstrates the big amount of tax loss that the country is suffering, but this is just to start the discussion. The point here, as you mentioned in the introduction, is that we are proposing a bold private-public partnership. And why we are doing that? Because we believe that this a momentum that we have, there is a political momentum, a political will, and there is also the technology here. And we need to start doing this. And yesterday, with the stakeholders of at BUSA, and this week, while talking with authorities here in South Africa, we are proposing to first host a public-private meeting, which is going to include SARS authorities and many other countries in the region, because it's important. This is a transnational problem that needs to have all key stakeholders in the region, including brands, service providers. And the second step that we are proposing is implementing a technology-based platform that is going to put all stakeholders together, because exchange of information is key, and that's exactly what we are facing. We are not doing it in an efficient way.
So I would then ask you why it's become so necessary for the private sector to step in where the public sector has underperformed.
This is a very good question. I don't want to put it like the public sector has underperformed. I like to see it in a way that this is the evolution that we have had. For many years, we had multilateralism and organizations that were supposed to help with this, but it's becoming completely difficult because of the geopolitical situation. And I believe that the private sector, because of its reactivity, its resources, its know-how and technology, it can provide very specific solutions. The one that I just mentioned a minute ago, it's something that is purely technical. Private sector is the only one that can inject that right away, and we need this to happen soon.
The danger, of course, is that any partnership like this becomes a talk shop or bureaucratic overlay. It's got to move quickly beyond that, hasn't it?
That's exactly the idea. We don't believe that this is going to be the case. It's important to have discussions at a technical level. It's not going to become a talk show. Where we go, the places we go, we try to make it smoothly, hear everyone, but we always come with concrete next steps. And this is what we are doing here. We already have dates for the working groups, and we're inviting all the relevant stakeholders so we can move fast with this, because the tools are here, the political momentum is here, and we need to make this happen. And trust me, I hope that soon we are going to report again to show you that it's not a talk show, but we are going to have concrete results. We need to catch up.
What do you believe would be the immediate priorities? And I do understand you're still in the planning phase, but there is urgency here, given that your report calls illicit trade deeply entrenched.
I think that there are already immediate actions that can be taken. In particular, I would like to focus in the sector of products subject to excise. tax here in South Africa. This is something that happened out of the pandemic. You may remember the restriction laws, particularly in alcohol and tobacco. Because of these restriction laws, we are still suffering this problem of illicit trade of 60% in tobacco and around 18% in alcohol. This compounded with corruption at many different levels, it's creating very fertile ground for organized criminality. And there are simple ways to start tackling this problem. We are discussing these ones and we are proposing this one. For instance, it's going to be important to rationalize the different schemes of, let's say, tax or the way that products are made affordable for the consumer. Because when it's difficult for the consumer to afford legitimate products, this is fertile ground for illicit trade.
And
this is something that can be done quite fast.
And part of that problem in terms of affordability is that inflation and unemployment fuel illicit trade. And the situation, particularly as far as South Africa is concerned, is that it's not getting any better.
That's correct. Well, we have seen that inflation has curbed 3%, which is something positive. You are completely right. We showcase that in our reports where there is inflation and low credit ratings. There is more illicit trade in general, but this is a negative cycle that we need to reverse. If we start fighting against illicit trade, the tax collection is going to be greater and that money can go to the sectors that need it the most and the economic prospects, therefore, are going to be better.
It's also about making sure that this is all properly led, that there's not a rivalry that exists within the framework. And in that respect, you're recommending appointing an interagency coordinator. What exactly is that? What does it entail? And I'd also suggest to you that South Africa has tried coordinators in the past with limited success.
Yeah, that's correct. This is a general recommendation. It has two aspects. The first one, it means that you are prioritizing the fight against illicit trade if you appoint a coordinator. But the way we see it is that this coordinator should be attached. I mean, our suggestion is that should work together with the new solutions that we are proposing. It would be like a sort of focal point maybe for this platform that we are discussing. I mean, it's important to have someone who has the possibility of interacting with the different agencies that one country has, because illicit trade is not a problem that should be only addressed from law enforcement. It should also include other ministries and departments of the government that range from health department, financial departments, and all these kind of things. And that's why we talk about having and appointing a coordinator.
And just a quick one in conclusion, how are you going to measure whether this proposed partnership actually makes a dent in illicit trade?
I think that this is going to be low-hanging fruit if this happens the way that we are proposing this and we have authorities cooperating. The results are going to be natural. They are going to come along the way if we have more cooperation between authorities and private sector. And here I'm talking about brown owners and service providers, because there is a lot to be done. The first steps, they are going to reap good results right away. I can tell you that. It's just a matter of start working on these specific recommendations.
Well, we'll be following all of this with a great deal of interest. Esteban Giudici, thank you very much indeed. Director of the Transnational Alliance to Combat Illicit Trade.
When you choose Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, you get access to our transactional banking solutions. Accessing our transactional banking solutions means you'll get a dedicated manager from the country's best relationship bank. When you have a dedicated relationship manager, their business is to understand your business and its financial needs. By understanding all your needs, they can connect you with the right sector and product experts across 15 key African markets. You see, there's transactional banking, then there's transactional banking with us. Search Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking. Standard Bank is an authorized FSP and registered credit provider. T's and C's apply.